David reminded us of our belief system. Bless, eat, listen, and imitate, and elevator talk, and focal point. If you were not here last week for that teaching, I encourage you to go take a listen to it on our podcast, either on iTunes or on Google Play, or you can find that teaching on our website as well. Just to kind of maybe for the first time get an understanding of what all those acronyms mean and what all those words mean, or maybe a refresher as to what they mean, because it's what we're becoming. It's what we're pursuing after. These are the missional results that we desire to pursue as a people belonging to Jesus Christ. So they are pretty important words and acronyms for us to get a handle on. So if it's been a while or if you weren't here last week, please take 30 minutes out of your time and go listen to that. It would be well, well worth it. This week is part B. This week we're talking about belong, believe, and become. But there's one thing that needs to be added to this belong, believe, become, and it's this ing ad part of it, the ing. I'm not grammatically correct. You guys know that from hearing me speak. Sometimes I do it on purpose so you'll listen and catch me on it. But for all of you grammatical folks out there, what is the purpose of ing? Like, what does ing do? I know we got some grammar folks in here. Come on now, talk back to me. What's ing do? All right, currently happening. What else? Come on, talk to me, guys. Action, ongoing, process. Ooh, somebody's preaching in the back. Process. All right, ing is this dot, dot, dot. It is this ongoing thing. It's a process. It is this motion that's taking place. Adding ing to a word and what is being communicated when you add this ing is very, very powerful if you pay attention to it. So as the freshness of 2019 is still potent here in the cold Northeast Ohio, I was reminded of something, and I am pretty sure this happens every January for all of us. You take a look back at the previous year, and it occurred to me that the Michael of January of 2018 is not the same Michael of 2019. I can't blame my hair. It's always gone. So there's something else that's changing here. You would all agree that the you of January of 2018 is not the same you of January of 2019. And then I took this one step further for myself. I looked back on the Michael that I was when we first started here back in September of 2013, and I look at who I am today in January of 2019. And then I took another very, very, very dangerous step. I looked back at the person that I was 15 years ago when Carrie and I got married. This upcoming summer, we'll be celebrating our 15th year anniversary. And I look back at the Michael of 2004, and I'm definitely not the same Michael in January of 2019. And the Holy Spirit stepped in and said, wait, 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 wait. You're way thinking about yourself way too much. Think how much work Carrie has been doing over the last 15 years to where you're at today. Amen. And this so often happens in marriages. It is possible to have a new status, but still live an old life. You go from single, independent, to married and very much dependent. My laundry is not just my laundry. My bills are not just my bills. My food is not just my food. My schedule, my routine, my way of doing things is no longer all about me. But just because your status has changed doesn't automatically mean that your life will follow suit. There is this process of belonging, believing, and becoming. But this type of reality is not just for married folk. This is a big time reality for those who claim that Jesus is Lord of their life. 2019 has rolled over, just in case you weren't aware of it. And the status and the reality of a new year is present, but you still may be bringing over into 2019 what should have been left behind in 2018, in 2017, in 2016, in 2015, in 1998, in 1975. Should I keep going? For some of us, we are carrying over things into this new world that do not belong, into this new year that do not belong. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your presence in this room with us this morning. Thank you for the ways in which you have moved and worked in the songs and in our prayers and in our time in communion. And God, we ask right now that you would use your word to speak to us. Open our eyes so that we can see. Open our ears so that we can hear. Open our hearts so that we can feel and that we can understand. And so shall we turn to you and be healed. All who agree, say with me, amen. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Ephesians 2. And I want to begin our time this morning in God's Word in Ephesians 2. All of our passages will be on the screen this morning. But we're going to spend a little bit of time in Ephesians 2 and a lot of time in Matthew's Gospel. And we're going to be journeying through a certain biblical character in Matthew's Gospel. But all of our scripture will be up on the screen. So beginning in Ephesians 2 verse 11. Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. You did not belong. Excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, y'all, who were once far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You now what? You belong. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. By setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and its regulations, His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and He preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. You did not belong, but now you do. You did not believe, but now you are in the process of believing. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but you're fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together, and it rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Hidden within this theologically rich and dense section of Scripture, we have belong, we have believe, we have become. Belonging, believing, and becoming. My hope for us this morning is that we see this as a biblical truth, and that this becomes a solid reality for all of us, because all of us are on this journey of belonging, believing, and becoming. And there is a major character in the biblical story that bears witness to this cyclical process, and it is a cyclical process of belonging, believing, and becoming. And he has one of the coolest nicknames in the entire Bible, and I am really jealous of his nickname. Confession is good for the soul. I love this guy's nickname. His nickname is The Rock, but it's not this rock right here. He's not that guy. That guy's got muscles in his eyebrows. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. Not this rock, but we're talking about Peter. Joe's John. I mean, that man's got, he's got muscles in his eyebrows. How do you do that? His name is Peter. And the one thing that occurred to me this week is this life-shaping truth that was true not just for Peter, but for all of us and for every other human being. And I want you guys to hear this. Peter belonged long before he ever believed. Peter belonged long before he ever believed. And if you're new here with us, if you're wrestling with faith, welcome. All of us are in some way, shape, form, or fashion wrestling with faith. But you belong here. Even if you don't believe with everything we believe, you belong here. Peter belonged long before he ever believed. So, for the next 15 minutes, we're going to quickly journey through some of Peter's life. So hold on, because here we go. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Peter belonged with Jesus long before Peter could ever believe in Jesus. At once they left their nets and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and the brother, and they get also the other two coolest names, two nicknames, Sons of Thunder. Man, cool stuff. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boats and their father, and they followed him. So the story continues, specifically in Matthew's gospel, which we're looking at this morning. News spreads about Jesus. Peter following along. Large crowds start following. And then the Sermon on the Mount happens in Matthew's kind of telling of the story, which just so happens to be the greatest teaching of all time. And that leads to statements like this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Peter is a part of this crowd that's on the journey of believing. He's even on the journey of understanding what it means to belong. He's left everything. He left the family business. He left his dad high and dry. He is learning what it means to belong. And he's also on this journey of what it means and what it looks like to believe. And one of the statements that we get for those who are on this journey is that when they pay attention to Jesus' teaching, they're left with one emotion. They're left with this amazement. They're left with, my goodness, where is this coming from? This guy is amazing. His teachings are transformational. And Peter is along for the journey with this. Miracles begin to occur. And you know Peter had to be thinking to himself with all of these miracles that he's witnessing and that he's a part of. You know in his head, he's like, I don't know how this is happening. But something is happening. I can't explain it. I cannot put it into words. But I know something is happening. And then you get to Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, and something happens that Peter would have imagined. In verse 14, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on them. Now, that's not, this story isn't meant to be a negative as this subservient thing of a woman serving a man. It's meant to tell the story that she was healed. She was healed so much so she didn't need bed rest. She didn't need some time with pain meds to get over the hurt. Once Jesus healed her, she was healed. So she got up and she served and she loved and she welcomed the guests that were in her home. Now, before all of this took place, they took a vote as to if Peter's mother-in-law should be healed or not. Peter was a little iffy. Jesus, now that's funny, guys. You got it. They took a vote. Jesus' vote won. But the journey of knowing that Peter belonged was leading to a believing. Experiences like Matthew 9, verses 10 through 13. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him, and his disciples were there too. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with these non-belonging folks? Folks that aren't welcome to the table. Why does your master eat with them?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Go and learn what this means as he quotes Micah. "I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The calling of Matthew, the beloved and socially acceptable tax collector, he himself is on another journey of process. Belonging, believing, becoming. And you know statements like 9, 12 through 13, they echoed in Peter's ears. You know they echoed. "I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." You know those words echoed in Peter's ears as he continued the journey of belonging, believing, and becoming. Which leads to more experiences and trust. You see the process going on a few pages in Matthew chapter 14 in verses 22 through 36. We're not going to take the time to look at the entirety of that story. I'll give you the skinny of it real quick. Jesus has done some pretty powerful things. He's done some more miracles. He's done some more teaching. His disciples are crossing a lake to go on to the other side. They are ahead of Jesus. Night falls. And all of a sudden they see this ghost-like apparition beginning to approach them in the boat. And they're like, "It's a ghost!" Which I find very fascinating that they would think that Jesus was a ghost. But okay. As this person draws nearer to the disciples, Peter calls out, "Lord, if it's you, call to me and I will come to you." You see the trust building within Peter? What on this earth would make Peter believe that he could walk on water? He's watching his master do it. He's watching Jesus do it. And in his mind, if Jesus can do it, so can I. So he calls out to Jesus and says, "Lord, if it's you, I'm going to come to you." And Jesus says, "Bring it. Come on, Peter. I believe what? I believe you can do it. I believe you can do it." Jesus calling Peter to walk out to him on the water. And what I love about this story, like I've already mentioned, is twofold. One, they thought Jesus was a ghost. And the second thing is this. This life-altering truth for me, that during this scene, Peter does not doubt Jesus. That's how we often interpret this story, is Peter's doubting Jesus. But Jesus isn't drowning. Peter doesn't doubt Jesus. Peter doubts himself. And in the process of us all in belonging and believing and becoming, if you haven't experienced this yet, hold on, you will. You will begin to doubt yourself. You will begin to doubt not faith, but you will begin to doubt yourself. But it's a process. This is a journey. It's what ING is all about. And Peter's story bears witness to that. Jesus says, yeah, Peter, you can do this, and he does. But he begins to doubt if he can finish the process. And he begins to sink, which he then is saved by Jesus. Even though Peter doubts himself, Jesus saves him. Jesus saves him. And there is something uniquely powerful in this process of belonging and believing into becoming. Rescue is always required. Rescue will always be required in the process of belonging and believing into becoming. Rescue is always required. So we have more bold claims from Peter in Matthew 16, verse 16. In this confusion as to who Jesus is, and Jesus asks, who do people say that I am? Peter, in his boldness, says in verse 16, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You see the believing? It expresses itself in even bolder claims that even though Jesus, you said you are going to be betrayed and handed over and eventually killed and raised in this context here. Peter and the rest clearly didn't hear that last word about being raised. I will never let anything ever happen to you, Peter claims. No one will ever harm you, Peter boldly proclaims. And then this ever so painful experience for Peter. Jesus' response in Matthew 16, verse 23. Get behind me, Satan. You guys would chalk this up to a failure, right? If the Lord of heaven and earth looks at you and says, get behind me, Satan, that's not one of those moments in life where it's like, man, I'm going to remember that forever. That was awesome. Thank you, Jesus. No, this is one of those moments in Peter's life where it hurt, and you know it hurt. For the one, he says, you are the Lord, you are the Messiah. I would not let anything ever happen to you. To have that same individual that you are now saying you would give your life for look at you and say, get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God, but merely human concerns. That was a painful moment in the process of what it means in belonging and believing and becoming. And those things are going to be a reality for us as well. Peter knew and was coming to know that he belonged. Peter believed, you are the Christ. And he makes this another beautiful statement in John chapter 6, verses 66 through 69 that I could not ignore this morning, and I want to show you guys. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. It was in the context of Jesus saying that his body was real food and his blood was real drink. And some of his disciples that were following him, many of them were like, way too much, way too much, way too much. So they decided to not follow him anymore. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I love that response. To whom shall we go? You hold the words to eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. He was coming to know the journey and process of believing. But the becoming, the becoming. In Matthew 26, just some pages over in this story, Matthew 26 reveals statements like 26 verse 35 that you'll have on the screen. Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said, yeah, at the same time. We will die with you, Jesus. We will go to war with you and back. We will never disown you. But he's in the process of belonging, believing, and becoming. And then no less than four verses later, guys, four verses later in the story, while Jesus is praying in the garden, 26:40 reads this. He returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. We'll go to war with you, Jesus. We will all die for you, but let us sleep first. Then we'll die with you. And Jesus' response, couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? Ladies in the room, you noticed he singled out men. Men, couldn't you do this? I think women could. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked, who? He asked Peter. 1 hour. Process of believing. The three denials in verses 69 through 74 in the same chapter of Matthew 26. Peter is in the process of becoming. We would have looked at Peter and said, he's just denied Jesus is Lord. He's lost forever. He doesn't stand a chance. But Peter is in the process of belonging, believing, and becoming. Peter's story does not end at the Gospels, because the biblical narrative still has a purpose for Peter. And that is to show and to reveal to all of us, not just Peter's journey, but our own journey. Because as you read the Bible, as you read this book, you find that this book is all the while reading you. That as you embrace and engage in the biblical narrative, what you find and what you will discover is that all the while the Bible is reading you. Peter's story leans into the book known as Acts, which you should also call the Jesus Echo. Because whatever Jesus did in the Gospels, his apostles do in the story of Acts. Jesus Echo. And Peter's story fills the majority of the first 12 chapters. And then you get this one final mention in chapter 15 of Acts. And there's this one scene that I find so powerful. And it's about Peter's journey. And it reveals this. It'll be on the screen. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 36. Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. If you take that sentence and you pay attention to the totality of Peter's story, you see him on this journey of him growing, of him inging, that's horrible, but it's got to work, of belonging, believing, and becoming. He's on this process. But he hadn't arrived just fully yet. There's this story in Galatians 2, verses 11 through 14, that we cannot ignore. When Cephas, who is Peter, came to Antioch, Paul opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Next verse. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. So he used to dine with those who were of non-Jewish relative, non-Jewish blood. He used to eat with them. But when they arrived, referring to the circumcised folks, referring to his own blood, when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. Because who you eat with is who you accept. The other Jews joined him in this hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, to Cephas, in front of them all, "You are a Jew, you belong, but yet you live like you don't belong. You live like a Gentile. You live like somebody who does not believe Jesus is Lord, and not like somebody who does. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" And the reason I show the story in Acts 10 and this story in Galatians chapter 2 is Peter is still learning what belonging, believing, becoming is all about. But I also want you to pay attention to this. Peter does not quit. He does not give up. He keeps pursuing. Because that which you are pursuing, you are eventually becoming. And then finally, we read statements like this from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. From Peter, "You are a chosen people. You are Am Segulah, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." You guys see the journey here? Belonging, believing, becoming. Peter's story bears witness to the process. The one that all the pictures of him with the halo, process of becoming. Jared, you can come on up, brother. As we close, I want you to hear this. You belong here. You belong here. One of the most welcoming and comforting lines you and I will ever hear is this: you belong here. Wouldn't you guys agree that that is one of the most welcoming and comforting lines you could ever hear from somebody? You belong here. You are welcome here. You belong here at CITF. No matter where you are at in your faith journey, you belong here. All of us are in the believing process. All of us are in the becoming process. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, hear this. Jesus is the single greatest thing to ever happen to planet Earth. With all your baggage and with all of your mess, He called me and He called everyone else in this room with all of our mess and with all of our baggage. His powerful statement from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, never gets old. And may it never get old for you. Jesus says this: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus' call is that you belong with me. And Jesus' call is you belong with all the others who belong to me as well. Let's stand, let's worship together.